Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God all my life. And all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I am
our God is so good.
'Cause we are fixed on this one thing, to know your goodness and see your glory. We're transformed by this one thing, to know your presence and see your beauty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Yeah. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Sing holy. Holy, there is no one like you. There is beside you, and open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are, and fill me with your heart, and lead me in your love to those around me.
Sing worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
time of worship, amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. Come on. People that you might not know, and you can find your seat.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hdchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at hdchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use the Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week. Bye.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Parfeld, and I'm the Missions Director here at Harvest Time. Please enjoy the following greeting from one of the many missionaries and mission organizations we support. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving.
Hi, Harvest Time family. This is Keith and Danny Phillips from the Sarasota House of Prayer. Those of you who don't know me, I actually grew up in Harvest Time from the time that I was really small all the way through adulthood. Keith and I were married at Harvest Time, and we both served there for about 8 years together before we moved down here to Florida.
Just wanted to say thank you to Harvest Time for all your support over the years. Harvest Time has actually been supporting me for close to 10 years as I served at another house of prayer in New Jersey for about 5 years, and now we've been here a little over 5 years. And Danny's been serving full-time as well for the last 4 years. So we're so thankful for everything you've sowed into us. And just wanted to give you a little glimpse of what we do here. So we have three main focuses at the house of prayer. It's prayer, evangelism, and a training center. So my role is the prayer room director, and I oversee the prayer room, which is what everything flows out of. We have a prayer room open about 75 hours a week, and we have live worship and prayer happening throughout that entire time. So it's just an altar of incense that we give to the Lord over our city. And I'll let Danny tell you a little more about the training center.
So we have a full-time Bible school here, and I'm the administrator for the school. They call me the dean of students, and I get to teach. And we also get to mentor students one-on-one. So it is a Bible school for 20-somethings. We're very passionate about raising up the next generation to know the Word of God and to be voices and leaders in their generation that prepare the way of the Lord. And so Keith and I are both involved in that. We both teach, and I help organize that schedule and handle a lot of the student life that goes on here. We also have an internship that we teach that's 8 weeks long. It's about biblical worldview and really understanding what the scripture says. So we're very passionate about equipping the body of Christ to pray, to evangelize, and to understand the word and to know who God is. So we want to thank you so much for supporting our ministry. Everything that we get to do here, it's a blessing every day. So we thank you and we bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. We're so glad that you came to worship Jesus with us today. Wasn't that a wonderful time of worship in the Lord's presence? The Lord is in our midst, and we are glad. So we want to welcome you. We want to welcome everyone who's worshiping with us online today. We are one family in the Lord. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can help us out. Please hit that subscribe button if you wouldn't mind and subscribe to our channel. We'd appreciate that very much. If you have little ones with you this morning and you're not sure that they can sit all the way through the service successfully, we do want you to know that we have great nursery care for your infants and your toddlers. That's available to you in all of our services. Just reach out to one of our hosts and they'll be glad to help you. The ushers are going to be coming to wait on us for our giving in just a few moments. And we want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of HTC. Your tithe is the first 10% of what God has entrusted to us during this past week. And your giving also helps to support the work of missions, as you saw there. We're so proud of our friends, Keith and Danny Phillips. We love them. And we're so blessed to see how the Lord raised them up in life and in ministry. And thanks to your generous giving, Harvest Time supports 60 or more different missionary works and outreaches, not just in the U.S., but literally all over the world. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you, a good measure. He said, pressed down, shaken together, and spilling over, people will pour it into your lap. That is a very good promise from a very generous God. He commits himself to meet all of our needs. And I'm so glad that God gives not according to the measure of our need, but he gives according to the measure of the kindness of his heart. That's a good thing. Amen. The envelope that's in your program today allows you to give in a few different ways. You can give by check, by debit card, or by credit card. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts this morning, please make sure that we do have all of your information. Giving online is safe and simple. Just give through our Realm app, or you can give through our website at htchurch.com. When you give through the website, there's a giving link right there on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift, or you can set up regular automatic giving that way. And lots of people choose giving that way just because it's so simple to do. You can also give by text, and the information on how to give that way can be found on the screens. Just before the ushers come to wait on us, I want to let you know about a couple of things. We have to let you know that the pool party, pizza party that our youth are having today, unfortunately, will have to be postponed. So no pool party today. And all God's children said, aw. All right. But the Lord knows it'll come back around. And believe it or not, September is coming up fast. And we want you to save an important date. On Sunday, September 11th, we're going to be having a life group expo in the cafe downstairs. New life groups for the fall semester are starting up that day, and you can explore our new life groups and our old and returning life groups at the expo. We're going to have a lot of different groups available for you. There's going to be Bible study groups, other study groups of different kinds. We've got groups for men and groups for women. We have all kinds of different interest groups. We have prayer meetings that meet throughout the week, and life groups meet on different days of the week. They don't just meet at the church, but they also meet in different locations around the region. So within the next couple of days, you're going to see us starting to post available groups on the Realm app and on the church website. If you go to htchurch.com, you're going to see a link at the top that says groups, and you can click on that, and you can search for a group that appeals to you. You can search by the location, search by the day of the week, so you'll want to check that out. Mark the calendar 3 weeks from today, and we hope that you'll join us at the expo after each of our Sunday services. Life groups are a great way to grow in your faith and to make some new friends in the family of God. Okay, going to invite the ushers to come if they'll wait on us now for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the Father's blessing upon us. If you do have an offering envelope with you today, let me encourage you just to lift that up before the Lord as a sign of faith, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the beautiful name of Jesus, your Son, and we thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your kindness in Christ, Lord. You're our Father, and you lovingly care for everything that your hands have made. We are so grateful today, Father, to be the objects of your generosity and your bounty. Father, would you continue to prosper your people this week in spirit, soul, and body? Let us see, God, your amazing faithfulness once again. Lord, we thank you now for the privilege of partnering with you in our giving. God, would you take the seed that we're sowing now, tithes and gifts, Lord, for a building fund, gifts for the spread of the gospel and missions, multiply it, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give today.
Actually there. Yeah. All right, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to come over to
Chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4. Don't forget that City Fest is coming up next weekend. City Fest is a completely free event at Seaside Park in Bridgeport, sponsored by 160 churches from our region. Isn't that awesome? 160 churches coming together. Next Saturday and Sunday starts at 4 p.m. each day. Lots of activities for all ages. As you saw, music from well-known Christian artists. And Andrew Palau is going to be making a presentation of the good news of Jesus. Make sure you invite your friends and your family to join you there. I know that they still need some volunteers. We did have a training this past week for prayer volunteers. Some folks came out to serve that way, but you can still jump in if you'd like to participate and help out. If you are interested, just visit cityfest.org. We also have a little table in the lobby this morning after you leave the sanctuary. There's information you can get through that table and also some yard signs if you want to put that up in your yard to just help promote the event. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading today in verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says, "These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you." Today, let's talk about persistence that wins the prize. Persistence that wins the prize. In your program, there's a handout you can use to follow along with us and take notes. And if you're watching with us online this morning, just simply download the handout from that chat. We've been looking at the pastoral epistles, the pastoral letters. These are letters from Paul the Apostle to Timothy and to Titus, who were young church overseers. Last week, we saw Paul instructing Timothy on how to defend the church and keep it healthy. And in the passage that we've just read, Paul shares some instructions that are a little bit more personal. They are more focused on Timothy's own heart. He's advising Timothy on how to tend to his mission and to his ministry. Now, I think you could see here that some of what was there may apply more to pastors. And yet there's great wisdom here for every believer. How can we grow spiritually and how can we keep growing? How can we also help others to grow with us? Paul gives Timothy some keys for growth in Christian living here, and I want to share four of them with you quickly this morning. The first one is this: be an example in personal character. Be an example in your personal character. Paul began this letter by telling Timothy that he had left him in the city of Ephesus in order to put the church in order and guide the church back to spiritual health. Now here in chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, "These things command and teach." A major part of Timothy's role was to teach the people everything that Paul had been sharing with him in the letter so far and anything else that was good doctrine. And of course, this is a major part of any pastor's duties. Timothy was also to command the people to follow Paul's instructions. Command is a strong word, isn't it? It's a military word in the Greek. The word that Paul uses means to order someone. And given what we've learned about the false teachers in the church at Ephesus, Timothy likely did have to command people to cease from certain behaviors. But Timothy wouldn't be delivering his own opinions or leading the church based on polling data. How many of you know that good leaders in the church or out of the church don't lead based on opinion polls? Amen. And when Timothy directed the congregation, he was speaking on behalf of an apostle, and more importantly, he was speaking with the authority of God's word. Command and teach summarizes Timothy's duty as a faithful minister of the gospel, and it's been the duty of pastors in every era of history to do those very same things. But by the same token, all believers, whether pastors or not, should ask God to give us hearts that are teachable, hearts that are quick to respond to the authority of the word of God. Do you remember how Samuel the prophet warned King Saul? He told him, stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. But God will surely bless us if our hearts are willing to respond to his voice. Do you know what God says in his word? He says, draw near to me, and I will what? I will draw near to you. And now Paul had a more personal word for Timothy. Just like it might have encouraged Timothy, so also it can encourage us if we let it. Paul says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit or zeal, in faith, and in purity. Now, whenever we look into this passage, people always like to ask, they wonder, how old Timothy was. Well, based on the timeline of the New Testament, as we study the letters of Paul and we study the book of Acts, most scholars believe that Timothy was around 35. Now, there are some people in the room, I know, because I used to have teenagers, they think that 35 is ancient. You know, beard to the floor, cane, everything. You get to a certain age, though, you realize 35 isn't really an antique. And if Timothy was around 35, though, that might have created some problems for him. In the ancient world, people respected age much more than they do in our culture. In the Hebrew culture, older people who were possessed of wisdom and fairness, they served as local leadership in the villages. And respect for elders was a serious matter in Israel, a very serious matter, because God had actually commanded in the law of Moses that you should literally stand up in the presence of an old person. And you had to do it in such a way that they knew that when they walked by that you were doing it because they were there. So it was a serious matter. People in most ancient cultures honored the age and experience of their elders. Now in Israel, you might still be considered a young man until you became 40. Now all the 39-year-olds in the room said, yeah, I'm still. But the Bible tells us that 40 is actually the age at which Moses was said to be grown. So neither the churches nor the synagogues would have considered Timothy, if he were 35, to be an elder on the basis of his age. Now, of course, to be fair to Timothy, Timothy was not inexperienced in ministry. Timothy wasn't inexperienced in the things of the Holy Spirit, and for sure he wasn't inexperienced in God's word. He had known the scriptures since childhood. It is safe to say that Timothy was already an example. If he were not, Paul could not have left the care of the church in one of the biggest cities of the Roman Empire in Timothy's oversight. However, Timothy was going to need to win over any naysayers who needed a little gray hair, maybe. They thought he needed some gray hair before he could lead. To win people over, Timothy would have to demonstrate the work of God in his life at a level that surpassed other people. At the same time, Paul was clear that Timothy shouldn't let anyone despise his youth. No matter how old he was or no matter how people perceived him, Timothy mustn't give in to false teachers or anyone else who might try to take advantage of him because Timothy was only half their age. But how could Timothy silence his detractors and at the same time make progress in his relationship with God? Well, Paul tells him here where to focus his attention. And it's very good wisdom for every believer. He says in verse 12, to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, faith, and purity. That is a wonderful summary of how Christians should walk before others, our visible Christian living. Do you know that our visible Christian living is important, right? Sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, God knows my heart, Pastor. It's like, yeah, I can't see your heart. Our visible Christian living is important. Other people can't see our hearts, so we need to be an example of these things. Paul says to be an example in word. What is our speech like? Do we use off-color language? Do we speak kindly to others? Are other people happy to see me when I walk in the room because they know they're going to get an encouraging word? In short, have I been letting the Holy Spirit work on my troublesome tongue? We also need to be an example in our conduct. Looking into the teaching of Jesus and the apostles will tell me if I'm really living according to the gospel. Does my life give evidence of having been made new by Jesus Christ? Or am I still walking in my old ways? If you can't say amen, then say oh my. And let me add this. I think this is important to say. You know, it's true, church, that God sometimes delivers us. He does deliver us sometimes instantly from things that we're ashamed of. But you know what? Over time, we should also be able to see, to notice God changing us gradually. The issue here is not whether God had made Timothy new. The issue is whether anybody could see it. I have a friend who would have said, that's good right there. Be an example, Paul says, in love. Love is the highest of all virtues. We know that selfless love is the very definition of God's nature in the Bible. It tells us that God is love. And if we've been born again through faith in Christ, the love of God will be poured out of our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Are we examples of that love? Are we caring for people and walking in forgiveness towards them as Jesus would? If you don't know where to start with your desire to be more like Jesus, my friend Pastor Ruth would tell you that praying to be baptized with his love would be the best place to start. Paul says, be an example in your spirit or in your zeal. Does my life still demonstrate any zeal to work for God and to advance Jesus' kingdom? Or have I possibly been serving him now more out of obligation? Of course, Jesus deserves my worship, and of course, I am obliged to give my worship. But as Paul tells us elsewhere, we shouldn't be lagging in diligence. Rather, we should be fervent in spirit as we serve the Lord. Is it okay to preach to you this morning a little bit? You know, listen, God's word isn't coming to condemn us. But when we hear the word of God and we realize that we haven't measured up in some of these things, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not disowning us. He is rather encouraging us, like Timothy, listen, to be the example that somebody needs. Timothy also needed to be an example of faith. People needed to see that he had a patient trust in God. He would need to hold on to Jesus through thick and thin, and as he did so, then other people would be able to see how God had brought him through. Isn't it wonderful to be around people who radiate faith and hope because they have seen God bring them through some stuff? Do you know what I'm talking about? Then Paul tells Timothy to be an example of purity. Paul will say more about this in chapter 5, but perhaps he saved purity for last in this particular list in order to emphasize it. And while purity can be an issue at any age, we know that sexual purity is usually more of an issue for younger people like Timothy. We know, don't we, that a lack of purity, even if it doesn't culminate in adultery, can nonetheless destroy a ministry very quickly. Moral failings, we understand, sadly, all too well today that moral failings discredit the local church and the church as a whole. So Timothy must seek to excel in this area. We live in a time that is exposed so much more to so many temptations of this kind compared to past generations. And so we need to make an extra effort to safeguard our purity. That's all the more true if we want to be examples of purity, as Timothy was called to be. Now, we remember how Jesus said, if our eye causes us to sin, he said, pluck it out. Do we understand this morning that Jesus was not telling us to mutilate ourselves, okay? But listen, here's what he did mean, and he was dead serious about it. If there is something, friends, in our homes, something in our habits that is tempting us to commit sin, we need to take the initiative and cut those things out of our lives. How many streaming services do we need anyway? You might save some money. Hey, where'd I get all this money from? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can not only overcome these things, but yes, you can even become an example of purity for people your age or for any age. In all these things, the Holy Spirit would say to us, let us be examples to believers, both young and old. We can excel, and we need to excel for our own sake. But Paul was encouraging Timothy here, excel for the sake of others also, so they can see you, see your example, and they can persevere to the end and be saved. Be the example that someone else can point to. Not so you can boast, but because you want to give someone hope that they can escape the chains of their lifestyle just like you did. Not so you can brag, but because you want your life to testify that Jesus is mighty to save. He can save us. Yes, give him a praise for that, because he is. He can not only save us, but he can cause us to become more like him every day. And I want my life to be the proof of that reality. Young people in the room who believe in Jesus, you can make that impact even now. Don't wait till you're the ancient age of 30 or something to make an impact for Jesus. But the Holy Spirit lives in you just as he lives in older believers. Trust him to help you develop a fruitful relationship with Jesus. A relationship that will serve as an example to others, whether you're 30 or 20 or 17 or 13. All right, we're looking at some keys that Paul gives Timothy for success in his life and ministry. The first is to be an example, seek to be an example in our personal character. The second one is this. Paul instructs him to be devoted to public worship. Be devoted to public worship. In verse 13, Paul says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine," or teaching is actually the word. As long as Paul was going to be absent from Ephesus, Timothy needed to give attention to those three things. Now, this reads a little different in the original. Where's all my Greek scholars? In the original text, it says, give attention to the reading, the exhortation, and the teaching. And that's actually different, because it tells us that this actually refers to Timothy attending and leading public worship services. When Paul said, give attention to the reading, he wasn't talking about personal Bible reading. He was using a particular word that meant in Greek culture that he was talking about the public, listen, the public reading of Scripture for the people of God. Now remember, in illiterate societies where only a few people could read the Bible, and certainly very, very few people would ever own a Bible or part of a Bible, this was especially important. copying how Jewish people worshiped in the synagogue, what the early Christians did was they read the scriptures out loud in their worship gatherings. After that, someone would come and do what we today call preaching, and there might be some teaching also. Isn't it interesting, church, that the word was read first, without any commentary, just the reading of the word? And you see, the Bible was allowed to speak first and speak for itself, so to speak, because God's word is the highest authority. Amen. Thankful for those amens on that one. And only then did someone urge the people to follow in the way of Christ and explain the word as needed. The first Christians read the Old Testament in worship, just as the Jewish people did, but they also read from the Gospels and the Apostles' letters. That shows us that they held the New Testament writings to be on the same level of authority as the Old Testament scriptures. I want to share a quote with you. Writing a century, about 100 years after Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the well-known Christian philosopher and writer Justin Martyr was defending Christianity, and he explained Christian worship. He said, "On the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits." See, church has always been long, amen? And then, Justin says, "When the reader has finished, the president speaks, instructing and exhorting the people to imitate these good things." Praise God. So Paul wasn't speaking about Timothy's private devotions, as important as that is, but he was speaking about being devoted to public worship and Timothy's role in it as an overseer. Friends, I would also take Paul's words here as prophetic words. Listen, take these words as prophetic words of instruction today from the risen Jesus to you and me. It's as if Jesus were saying to us this morning, "Until I come, give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, to the teaching." Now, I get it. I'm preaching to the choir here this morning because, after all, you're here. We're gathered in church today. And if you're watching online, we're glad you're with us also. But by all means, friends, let's take advantage of every opportunity that we have to hear God's word as it is read, as it is preached, and as it's taught to us. Take advantage of every chance to be together, to partake of the Lord's Supper and enjoy fellowship, to pray with one another, to worship him in song and in the spirit. Wise believers take full advantage of what we call the means of grace. I think you understand that going to church has no special powers in itself, but it is a means that God uses to minister his grace to us in different ways because of what takes place here. God is here, and one of the things that God does when we're here together is he uses preachers and teachers as vessels, we trust, to deliver his word of life to you. We're doing our best to feed the church as God enables us so that we can all grow together in the faith. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, give attention to these things until Jesus returns. One day you will be so glad that you gave attention to the health of your soul. Moms and dads, you will be forever grateful that you brought your children to church to hear the word of God. We will see in 2 Timothy how Timothy's faith owed so much to the faith of his mother and his grandmother. What a responsibility we have, listen, to make ourselves strong in the Lord, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of others. Let's be devoted and give attention to public worship. We're talking today about persistence that wins the prize. Be an example in personal character. Be devoted to public worship. And number three, this is an interesting one. Be attentive to your prophesied gifts and callings. Be attentive to your prophesied gifts and callings. Now, it was just a few weeks back, Pastor Glenn preached about this. He preached about how, like Timothy, we need to get a living word from heaven. So I won't linger here long, except just we need to look briefly at one aspect of it. Paul says in verse 14, do not neglect. Everybody say that word, neglect. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy or with prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now, your Bible may say presbytery, and presbytery just means a group of presbyters, which is the same word as elders. So it's elders, presbyters. What's happening here is that at some point in time, Paul and the other elders had laid hands on Timothy to ordain him, to set him into the leadership of the church. And when they prayed over Timothy, they also prophesied to him. At that time, the Lord gave Timothy or made Timothy aware of supernatural gifts and abilities that he was receiving with which to serve the Lord. Maybe those prophecies confirmed what Timothy already sensed in his heart about his own life. Maybe he heard some new things about his future life and ministry that he had never heard before. We don't have that level of detail. But even today, when we lay hands on people for ministry, we expect the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Just as was the case with Timothy, people will often release prophetic words about the person's gifts and callings. The living voice of the Spirit comes to encourage the person and to help them receive God's direction. Now, this may seem strange to us, what I'm about to say, but God here says, and he says it in different places, that believers are responsible to develop those gifts. Did you know that you and I are responsible to develop the gifts that God has given us? We are actually told to nurture the supernatural within our lives. We might think, and we have a tendency to believe, that anything that is, quote, supernatural will work automatically. But the Bible shows us that this isn't necessarily true. Because Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect the gift. And that means that potentially Timothy could be guilty of neglecting the gifts that he had received, whatever they might have been. Jesus used that very same word in a parable that he told. Do you remember the parable where Jesus spoke about people who received a wedding invitation? He said that they made light of it or they neglected it. Same word, actually, that Paul uses. We might say in our vernacular, they blew it off. Church, don't do that with the gifts of God. When the Holy Spirit is indicating to you that you have received a gift, don't blow it off. Paul is telling Timothy, and God tells us elsewhere in the Word, recognize the gifts that God has given to you. Don't be dismissive of either your spiritual gifts or your natural abilities and talents. Don't ignore them. I've heard people say things like, oh, Pastor Nick, when I go to heaven, I'm going to be a painter. Well, why not start learning to paint better today for the glory of God? Amen? If you have a gift, why not seek to develop it? At the very least, don't believe the lie. This is important because I know that the enemy comes to so many people like this. Don't believe the lie that God created you with nothing at all to contribute to the life of the world or the life of the church. Don't ever believe that. Now, of course, we're not boastful about this and we give glory to God. It's all the work of his grace. So if you are that person that's learning to paint, don't go around telling people, I've become the greatest artist of the 21st century, right? But don't neglect your natural talents or the supernatural graces that God has begun to use you in. Do not brush aside the supernatural help that God wants to give you through the gifts of the Spirit. The Apostle Peter says a similar thing in his first letter. He says, we're called to be good stewards or managers of the grace of God. And he's actually talking about supernatural gifts there. Now, I understand this is a stretch. For some of us, it's easy to understand how practicing the guitar or studying Spanish can make us improve at those things. But how do we grow in something supernatural? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, he's going to tell Timothy to stir up the gifts of God. Stir them up. And we do that through prayer. We do it through studying those gifts. We do it through mentoring relationships with people who are used by God in those ways. We do it by learning to use our gifts in submission to authority and by being accountable for how we use them. Do you know that Jesus trained his 12 disciples and actually the 70 disciples that way? Even before the Lord returned to heaven, he was already teaching his disciples to cast out demons and heal the sick. They were learning to move in the supernatural. At Harvest Time, we love to train people in the gifts of the Spirit also. But don't neglect the gifts of God. If you ever have a tug in your heart that says, I would love to see more people healed. Why don't more people get healed? Well, ask God to use you to heal people. Ask God to use you in supernatural demonstrations, humbly and for the glory of his name. If you're not sure how to begin, talk to your life group leaders. Talk to your pastors. They'll help you get started in exploring how you can pray and seek God about being used in those things. We're talking today about persistence that wins the prize. We need to be an example in personal character, devoted to public worship, attentive to our prophesied gifts. And finally, this number four, we need to be diligent to make progress in grace. Diligent to make progress in grace. In verse 15, Paul says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the teaching. That's good advice. As a leader, Timothy would need to be careful about what he was teaching, and he would have to take heed to himself. That means he would need to examine himself. Here's the thing, church. It would mean Timothy would have to be honest with himself about his relationship with Jesus. From time to time, he would need to look and see how was he doing in those areas where God had told him to be an example. What was the quality of his speech and his conduct and so forth? If he could be honest with himself, and this is so important, listen. If Timothy could be honest with himself about where he was at, then he could go to the Lord and he could receive grace to correct and strengthen any area of his life where he was lacking. Paul wanted Timothy's progress to be visible and obvious to people. Not so that Timothy could boast, but so that people would see the work of the Spirit in his life. It would counteract any of that bias that they had against him because he was only in his 30s. And it would help people see that God was truly working among them. Timothy himself would also be encouraged as he saw his own personal progress and as he saw that he was continuing to grow. Friends, the devil's very crafty. Do not let the enemy cause you. Listen, this is so important. If you haven't heard much of anything else to this point, listen to this. Do not let the enemy cause you to only see those ways in which you have not arrived yet. Do you hear that? Don't let the devil deceive you so that you are only looking at those things in your life where you have not yet arrived to a certain level. Do you know that even Paul, at the very end of his life, I suspect that few of us will have the spiritual achievements and attainments of the Apostle Paul, but even Paul, at the end of his life, was still pressing forward for more of Jesus, and that's okay. There's always room to grow, but Paul could give thanks that he was not who he used to be. Thank God, you and I serve a God who takes us from strength to strength, and he takes us from glory to glory. Praise God. Worship team, you can come back, please, and help us out if you would. How should Timothy be diligent and make that progress? Part of that diligence would be an attitude of his mind. Paul says, meditate on these things. That doesn't mean that Timothy should go sit in a corner and let his mind go blank. In the ancient world, meditation was something active, not something passive. It was not about emptying your mind, but it was about filling your mind. Meditate here means to ponder and think. Your Bible may actually translate it there as giving your complete attention to these things. In other words, just like Timothy, we need to focus on our great goal of becoming more like Jesus. And that means we will need to ask ourselves from time to time whether we are, in fact, making progress. Do I have any times where I simply sit and take stock of myself and see how well I'm doing at reflecting who Jesus is? Have I become, say, more like Jesus in my words and in my deeds than I was a year ago? Another part of Timothy's spiritual diligence would be an attitude of the heart. Paul says, give yourself entirely to these things. One translation puts it like this. It says, immerse yourself in these things. Immerse yourself in them. And that's a great way of putting it. Timothy needed to be devoted to these things. How many of you know, I think the world at times understands this a little better than we do. We have all seen the motivational posters. We have all seen the kinds of motivational sayings that the world enjoys, right? Saying things like, no pain. See, you're all weightlifters. I knew it. I knew the second service was the jacked crowd, you know? But people of this world are taught they don't mind working hard if there is a reward attached to it. In things of this life, the people who succeed are generally, not always, but generally are those who are diligent and apply themselves. And church, I believe there are new levels of blessings available to us in God. There are new things in God, but what if they can only be ours if we immerse ourselves in these things? For the sake of those we love, as well as for our own sakes, we can grow in godliness and we can grow in our relationship with Christ, but only if we are willing to devote ourselves to pursuing these things. Immersing myself in these things will require some time. Now, I know some of you, and I know that some of you are very disciplined with your household expenditures, but we can all benefit also from examining how we spend our days and hours. There's nothing wrong, certainly, with recreation. Nothing wrong with enjoying family time. But friends, remember, God's word says, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Spending time with Jesus will refresh you and will bless you like nothing else can or will. It carries a benefit for this life as well as the life to come. The Bible says that if we sow to the Spirit, we will also reap life from the Spirit. Examining how I'm spending my time this week will help me to see where it is that I possibly have become undisciplined. It'll tell me whether or not I am really immersing myself in God's kingdom so that I can enjoy His blessing in every part of my life. I believe God uses the picture of sowing and reaping because the Lord wants us to see that much of kingdom life, much of kingdom blessing will not come to me automatically as if it were a matter of magic rather than a relationship. Do you know what I'm talking about? God is faithful to do His part, but you and I have a part to play also. He calls us to seek Him and pursue Him. The Word of God gives us a beautiful promise. It says in Hosea, let us press on to know the Lord. If we press on to know Him, He will respond to us as surely as the sun will rise and as surely as the rains come in the spring. What a promise. When we seek the Lord, He will reveal Himself to us. Let's pursue Him again and sow to the Spirit. Let's walk in partnership with Him with a faith that says we are trusting Him to make every necessary change in our hearts. That is a faith that pleases the Lord. Church, if we're diligent in these things, if we immerse ourselves in them, then our progress, like Timothy's progress, will become obvious to those around us. So let's be an example in our character. Let's be devoted to the public worship. Let's be attentive to the gifts God has given us. And let's be diligent. Let's be very diligent in seeking to grow. Let's be persistent and let's be steadfast in pursuing these things so that we can hear God say, "Well done." Amen. Come on, stand together with me. Let's stand together and let's give Jesus a hand of praise in his house this morning. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. I want to invite you to take some time. We have a few minutes left to us today. And if you want to pray, if you want to ask the Lord to touch your heart and help you to be more of an example for Jesus, to be that example like God was calling Timothy to be, I want to invite you to come and we're going to take a few moments. We're going to pray for ourselves and we're going to pray for some others. Just come to the altar. And if you would, while you're coming, make sure you come all the way up to the steps. Make sure you're leaving room for those that are coming behind you. And while you're coming to pray with us, the team's going to lead us in singing. Come on. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We want to be that example, Lord God. No matter what our age, Lord God, we want to have lives of impact, lives that reflect your character, Lord. And Lord, we repent today that we haven't always reflected that, Lord. You know, church, repentance doesn't mean to beat yourself up. Repentance in Hebrew, it just means returning. And God, we're returning to you today. We thank you, God, that in your word you tell us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if there's something in your life that you know has helped to construct a wall, has helped to construct a barrier between you and the Lord, come on, just confess that to him. Just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for this. Just take it away from me." Do you know that God wants this? He wants this closeness with his children. The Holy Spirit said a beautiful thing through the Apostle John in his letter. Listen to this. He said, "If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows all things. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. You know what that means? That means that if you feel that you're far from God, there's a reason for that. But God is so good. He knows your heart, and He's greater than your heart. He's so good that He wants to show you what it is. He wants to show us, what are the walls? What are the barriers that I have erected between myself and God? And He wants to give you help to tear them down. So God, we tear down those barriers. Whatever it is, Lord God, it might have been one of these areas, Lord, that Timothy needed to look at. It might be about our speech, our love, our lack of zeal. It might be about our purity. Whatever it is, Jesus, we give it to You. We trust You to cleanse us. Wash us, forgive us, cleanse us from these things. Lord Jesus, would You just come in a sweet, loving, purifying, gentle wave of Your Spirit's presence right now. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us. Sanctify Your people, Lord. Sanctify Your people, Lord, through Your word, through Your truth. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us to lay these things aside. Fresh grace, Lord. Give Your people fresh grace and strength for the season of harvest, Lord God. Lord, we want our lives to be examples. And I want you to thank the Lord by faith. Listen, if God said He would forgive you and cleanse you, then that's His intention. God cannot lie. Don't let the enemy condemn you and say, I'm the same old me. Come on, let's just begin to thank the Lord that He's forgiven us. Come on, just thank Him. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood. Thank You for Your blood that makes a new and living way for us to enter into Father's presence. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Lord, would You touch our hearts now, Lord? Touch our hearts, Lord. Touch our speech, Lord. Help us in our conduct. Help us, Lord, in our love. Would You increase our love? Increase our love, Lord God. Increase our love for You, Lord God. We know You're pleased when we take any step towards You, Lord God. We know that You delight in us, but Lord, increase our love. Increase our love for You, Jesus. Come on, I want you to pray that. Just ask the Lord, say, Lord, increase my love for You. Increase my love. Lord, help us to love You as You deserve, Lord. Give us grace. Lord, the first commandment that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, help us to love You more. Help us to love You better, Lord Jesus. Increase us in our zeal and our passion, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be those, Lord, that are just phoning it in, Lord God. Lord, so many of us, we have a feeling, we have a conviction that we're living in the last days. But God, we need a passion and a zeal for Christ that matches living in the last days, Lord. Lord, would You set Your people on fire, Lord, on fire for You, Lord, in these last days. Make us a people of faith, Lord God. Make us a people of faith, God, because Your word says that in those closing days of history, You tell us that the people who know their God will be strong and they will do mighty exploits. We want to be among that number, Lord. We want to be in that company of people who will dare, who will have faith to dare to do bigger things, Lord, to do the things. Oh, there's all kinds of people in this room that have been told since you were born that that's beyond you, that is past you. You can't do that. Why don't you stay in your lane? I'm in God's lane. Let's be in God's lane. Let's be in the Holy Spirit's lane. Don't stay in your lane. The next time somebody says stay in your lane, say, yeah, I'm passing you. Give us that faith. And Lord, give us purity, Lord. Give us clean hands and a pure heart, Lord God. Lord, there are so many that are sunk down, Lord God, in these kinds of sins right now. Lord, would You make us examples of purity so that we could give a hand to people, that we could pull them out of that mud and mire, Lord God. Lord, turn us to righteousness, Father, that we could help others get set free, Lord Jesus. Jesus, You came to set the captives free. Use us, Lord. Use us to do it, to follow You in that. Lord, we haven't seen always the growth. We haven't seen always the progress that we've wanted to see in life. But we trust You, Lord, to bring us all the way, Lord. We trust You, Lord. We thank You that You are not finished with any one of us, Lord. We thank You that Your word says that He who started a good work in us, He will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. Paul said, I know the one that I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've given to him until that day of Christ. So Lord, we haven't always seen what we've wanted to see. We haven't always seen the fruit that we needed to bear for you. But here we are, Lord, returning. We are returning to you, Lord. Lord, prune us. We want to bear good fruit for you again, Lord God. Oh, church, I believe through the Holy Spirit that there's another season of ingathering and harvesting that is coming to this church. God, help us to be ready for that. Help us to live lives of example. We pray right now. Lord, we pray for those who don't know, Lord God, who don't yet know Jesus in a personal way. If you're here in this room today and that's you, then before you leave this building, please stop by the prayer room and speak to one of the people that's there and they'll pray with you. Just go and tell them, I want to know Jesus personally for myself. But church, those of us that are here, listen, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind one or two people you know who don't know the Lord. Could be a relative, could be a co-worker, friend, a neighbor, whatever. And just as we close, we're going to pray for these people. We're going to pray for these people. Come on, let the Holy Spirit put that person on your heart. Lord, we pray for these that we're thinking of, that the Holy Spirit has caused us to think of today. And we pray, Father, that you would draw them to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would soften their hearts to the gospel, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you go and move over these precious ones that God loves so much and begin to soften their hearts, Lord. Send the rain of your Spirit and soften the hard soil, Lord God. We pray for the prodigals, Lord God, that are on our heart, Lord. Lord, for some of us, it's such a burden. It's there. We feel it every day, Lord God. Those that we love that have walked far off your path, bring them back to, Lord. Your word says you are married to the backslider in heart, Lord God. Lord, we pray also, Lord, as we've read in your word today, that through their example, they would see the reality of life in Christ. Jesus, you said, let your light so shine before men. God, help us to shine our light, Lord, so that when people see us, they know the reality of the gospel. They know that there is something that we possess that they do not possess because the life of God is within us. Let our light shine, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we've been singing, Lord, these last few minutes, we pray, Lord, and we commit ourselves afresh to build our lives upon your love, to build our lives upon your word, because it is the only good foundation for life. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give him a good hand of praise. He's so worthy. He's so good. Hallelujah. God bless you, church. Let's sing that one or two more times, and then you can be dismissed. God bless you.